Welcome to the Feed Central Hay Matters podcast, your go-to source for all things hay-related in Australia. I'm your host, John Paul Driver. In today's episode, we're joined by Lewis Kelly. Lewis is the chair of AFIA. We're going to talk about some of the goings-on at the AFIA conference. I'll start by welcoming you to the podcast.
Thank you.
Would you tell us a little bit about where you're from and your farming operation really quick?
Yeah, I'm from the bottom part of New South Wales, Southern Riverina. Predominantly, it's where I live is an irrigation district. Jeralda's the closest town of about 700 people. And it's in a triangle between Wagga, Albury, Shepparton sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
About 300 kilometres north of Melbourne. I think everyone knows where Melbourne is. So yeah, in the over the New South Wales border.
And what do you grow there?
I'm predominantly focused on fodder. At the moment, I've got a lot of clover sown for hay production and oats for the export market.
We've talked to Damon Humphreys with Tagger, Gavin Learson with Bale Time, and Bryce Riddell with Hay Shepherd, and they all presented at AFIA. And I want to highlight here, how does AFIA collaborate with innovators and technologists to bring new solutions to AFIA's members?
A lot of that stuff just happened because of necessity, and it's the same as their inventions. Necessity is the mother of invention. These guys, these three guys have come along and they've all got something to add to our industry. The hay shepherd, it's almost a must now that we're going to have more and more technology monitoring our hay sheds. Like in extreme cases with our insurance across the industry, people are finding they're getting quotes for as much as 6% of the net value of the product they've got insured. That is unacceptable. We have to... Insurance companies, they're sort of saying, too high a risk. We start to use Bryce's technology in the top of a hay shed, it really opens your mind as to what, hey, hang on, what's out there? What can we do with this? Gavin with his, and I know that might probably appeal to me, and I'm trying not to blow that one up too much because I'm going down the paddock to find out just how the hay is ready or not, because I'm the guy driving the baler.
Yeah.
And that is such a convenience that if you could just go to bed and wait till the alarm went off instead of getting up every hour to go and have a look.
I've been living that this week. We're trying to bale our second cutting lucerne, and it's exactly as you described, getting out of bed to go and check.
So that hits home really well. And, of course, the bale tagger, well, that's just endless, the possibilities there. We can GPS the paddocks, but we've got all that equipment in our tractors, and we know exactly what part of the paddock that bale come from. And it raises the question, are we potentially offering too much technology that we're going to be overloaded with technology from these guys? But look, there's a use for the whole lot of them. And as I say, necessity is the mother of invention, and they are all very necessary.
So what role do you see innovation playing in the future of farming and hay production?
I think through my lifetime in farming, I keep going back to the late 80s and 90s, where we had, in Australia particularly, we had a changing of the practices of farming by the innovation of minimum till and chemical revolution to agriculture. Now, I maintain that was 100% game changer. That was a real innovation of magnitude that we've totally changed our practices altogether, increased our efficiency something hugely. I think the future, we can't keep looking for rainbows like the minimum till and the chemical revolution. They're rainbows that we're not going to see those things again. The future is the innovation of what these three guys have done. These little one percenters or half a percenter to your product or to your operation is going to make a hell of a difference in the future. And we need more and more of them so that we can keep adapting them. And after 10, 15 years, we will be making 100% game changers with all these little innovations. And that's why I say these three guys should be congratulated for what they've brought to the table at Avia this year. It's been fantastic. And the way they're not trained presenters or trained media people. They're just...
My favourite part working with all three of them is they're real people, solving real problems.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I fully agree. And to talk to them individually, you think, wow, there's going to be a lot of innovation come from a lot of people eventually.
The last question I have for you, looking forward, what emerging technologies or trends are you most excited about?
I haven't seen them yet. I don't know what's out there. And that, I believe, you've got to keep your mind open for. Yeah, look, many years ago I heard about the microwaving of the soil or the plants as they germinated, and I thought, wow, this is going to be one to watch. But there's a lot of problems. You know, how far do you keep the driver away from the open door of the microwave when you're going across the paddock? And, you know, I was really impressed with that and thinking that will get developed to a... But, look, that's gone by the wayside a bit. I don't know, and that's why I have to say in my life I was told when I was a young bloke, don't ever set expectations, this is what you're going to see. And I was in a tractor lasering a paddock, and this is in the early 80s, and my grandfather was 85 and he was in there with me, 86 he was at the time, and he was born in 1900. I explained to him that transmitter sending a beam and it's controlling the level I'm working at here, and the tops are all the one level and the bottoms are one level. And I'm thinking, how much do you actually understand of this, Pa? And his comment when I stopped talking, which isn't very often, as people would tell you, he said, if you see in your life what I've seen in my life, you have got no idea what you're going to see. It's just uncomprehendable was the word that he used. Yeah, there wasn't even septic when he was a kid.
Right. Like,
how things had changed so much.
My great-grandfather came across the U.S. for the first time in a covered wagon and lived to see the moon landing.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, yeah.
And that's what this guy was talking about. And, you know, in those days I was spending a lot of time earth-moving and developing country and harvesting different crops and all the things that we did in those days. I keep just as busy now, but it's not behind the wheel of tractors like I used to. So you had a lot of time to think. And I've quite often pondered over that. And listening to these three guys over the last couple of days, I really think they're the things that I had no idea that was ever going to come. Now, when you ask me what's out there in the future, I don't know how these things work internally, because my mind's a mechanical mind that I can dismantle it to see how it works. I just trust that this stuff works.
Could I get you to give a commercial for Avia? I'm a big fan of industry organizations because it does take that collaboration.
I truly believe that if people want to come, we've got to make ourselves attractive to people to want to come. It's a lot easier if they want to come and preference to us dragging them in. So we've got to make ourselves as a go-to group, and the face of Avia needs to be a part of that go-to group. Look, it's not just the members that we need. It's a complete cycle. We need the sponsors. Tim Ford, classic example. He's actually an industry innovator with what he's done since I've known him. And he's kept moving with the times and kept setting the pace. A lot of our sponsors are people like that as well. But we've got to acknowledge what Tim has done. A bit hard to put in words because I haven't actually tried before, but I think if Tim's out there taking his business forward and he's prepared to take the rest of the fodder industry forward with him. So we need to work together with that collaboratively. That is how we need to work. And when we figure out that we can actually complement each other and we're not actually in opposition to each other, now whether Tim actually has figured this out or his staff actually figured this out, I don't know. But subconsciously, that's what they're doing. We've got to embrace that stuff. We've got to take that further forward. As you can probably tell, Yeah, I left school at the end of year eight. I used to say I left at the end of second form, but it sounds a lot more educated if I say year eight. So, yeah, I can read and write, but I can't spell very well. I acknowledge all that. I can't tell you why people decided, yeah, hey, you'd be a good bloke to chair this job. I know I've got a lot of passion for the industry. I've made a lot of money out of the industry, so I only think that I'm putting back into the industry. Oh, that's answering the question you're after there, but...
I love the collaborative spirit there. And then that spirit of innovation too. That's really what the conversations with Damon, Gavin and Bryce were all about, was capturing that spirit of innovation in the future of the industry.
We've got to keep chasing them. The 100% game changers, they're just not going to be out there anymore, I don't think. Maybe wrong.
Lewis, this has been a wonderful conversation talking about how AFIA supports and collaborates with industry innovators. I think having those innovators come and speaking at the conference makes the conference more attractive to everybody in the industry. And it just turns into a wonderful feedback loop where you have good people and good content meeting with other good people. It's wonderful. And I wanted to say thank you for your commentary today. It really highlights the need for that, again, collaboration.
No, anytime. And I do appreciate the opportunity to say a few words, but acknowledge that I've been watching you and how you've done some of these podcasts.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate what you're doing and how you help promote the fodder industry. And that's what Tim's doing. That's what Tim Business is about. But as I said before, we're moving forward and we're moving forward together. That is what I believe that collaboratively means. That to me, it's what we've got to do. It's the future.
I've been joined by Lewis Kelly, Chair of AFIA, talking about technology at the AFIA conference. We're joined by Bryce Riddell. Bryce is with Multicube in Yarrawonga, but he also is a bit of an innovator. That's an understatement. I've been to Bryce's operation in Yarrawonga, and there is innovation everywhere. But we're going to talk about a specific one. At the AFIA conference, you presented on your Hey Shepherd product. Tell us what Hey Shepherd does.
The way that Hey Shepherd got developed is we had an internal need in our own company, and we were requested by our insurance company about 2 years ago to start monitoring our hay sheds for 30 days after harvest. And like any true agricultural entrepreneur or innovator, I went about solving that problem. So the first way that we solved it was with a temp gun and a notebook. And, you know, we had to send people, good old-fashioned pen and paper.
Pen and paper, like you see at restaurants where they're writing down the food temperature.
100%. It was very basic. And then, you know, you had to really get to the shed before the sun had come up so that you didn't have any interference with the, you know, the radiant heat from the sun distorting any of the measurements in the apex of the roof, because that's what you were trying to capture. You were trying to capture a difference in the temperature in the apex of the roof versus that of the temperature of one of the columns. So that was more so your control of the, your control reading.
The idea being if bales are heating in the shed, potentially causing a fire, the heat would rise to the apex of the shed roof.
Correct. So if you've got a situation developing in the shed, you know, you're going to have that heat rise, and we're looking for, with the temp gun, we were looking for a small temperature variation, which would then give us an indication that you had something developing in that shed. So after around about 2 weeks, what happened is I thought, there's got to be a better way. There has to be a better way. So I started to research all the other tech options out there on the market. And some of them, they have their place, but for what we were actually trying to do, none of them were actually fit for purpose for the task that we had at hand. After looking around for a few weeks, I thought, well, if we've got this problem, I'm sure other people have the same problem. So I set about finding a tech solution and developing a tech solution that solved the issue. And that's when I came up with Hey Shepherd. So it was fairly innovative, where there's nothing else like it on the market. What I know is that for it to work for us, it has to be simple, it has to be pretty robust, it can't be in the way of telehandlers loading and unloading sheds. all the boxes that I had to tick for us, they actually tick the boxes for all other hay producers as well. So that's what I ended up coming up with, the Hay Shepherd monitoring system.
Now, you're saying a system. It's not a single device, but it is a small device that you hang in the shed roof.
Correct. So
and maybe one outside, if I remember this right. You have to put one outside as your baseline, and then you can put several throughout large sheds.
Correct. So what the idea is, the minimum coverage is one device per bay of the shed. And then you've got your control device, which hangs on one of the columns of the shed, you know, at the front, so that it's not, if there is a developing situation, it's not skewed out or anything like that, the measurements.
Yeah.
But you're not restricted to one device per bay. If you've got a larger spanning bay, you can put up to three devices across that bay, so that you can then pinpoint where exactly in the shed you may have a situation developing.
Now, to be very clear, we are talking about bales heating up and spontaneously combusting.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, like the worst thing that can happen to a hay farmer.
100%. And if you've ever seen a shed that is on the limits of spontaneously combustion or combusting, you know, you've got a lot of humidity. It's near on raining inside of that bay of the shed. So the humidity's there, the temp's there, and these are the environmental elements and factors that the system is looking for, and then the algorithm in the back end is, you know, comparing all these measurements to see if there is any difference between the control and the monitoring device.
Now, this information is being sent to, I'd imagine, a cloud service where you can go and access the data, look at the temperature and humidity graphs. It tracks humidity in the sheds too.
Yep. So it's all hosted on AWS. So, it's a very secure platform.
Robust, secure,
but
awesome.
We hold the data there for up to 2 years, so that if you have to go back and, you know, download some data to show your insurance company or something like that, there's no risk that, you know, you don't have that data. So we're ticking the box for the requirement set out by the insurance company to monitor and record the hay for 30 days with the added bonus of checking for environmental changes.
Yeah, absolutely. So this started with the insurance requirement, but also there's peace of mind that comes along with it too.
Exactly, because like most of us, in hay season, we're all extremely busy. So the likelihood of getting back to that, you know, to that shed every single day to look at it, you know, you start
unlikely
to run the risk that, yeah, everyone's busy. And, you know, one of the biggest issues that we all face these days is manpower and 100%. Labor shortages. So this picks up the sore points there.
100%. I love this innovation.
Thank you.
Do you also get alerts sent to your phone? I'd imagine with AWS you can set up alerts.
You do. So you have the alerts inside the user interface, but then you can also get the email alerts sent to you as well.
And are those thresholds that you set yourself or a part of an algorithm that you developed?
So you can set the threshold to wherever you want it to be, so that you can set it as low as you want, but you can also set it as high as you want. So it's really where you feel that, you know, that crossover point's going to be where an issue is really occurring. Yeah. So I'd recommend 2 degrees Celsius, so that
difference between the measurements.
Exactly. So we're looking, you want to set it as small as possible so that you are picking up on that variation as soon as possible.
So it's not a particular temperature threshold that you're looking at. It's a differential.
Exactly. Because if you're looking for temperature, every single day varies. You've only got to have a super warm day, and then that's going to skew your temperatures out. That's why we're comparing a control temperature to the monitoring temperature.
Yeah, perfect. This is a great innovation. When is this coming to market?
So we're in market now. So as of this week, we are in market. So by all means, jump on the website, which is www.hayshepherd.com.au. Send us a contact form.
Awesome. Bryce, thank you for sharing about Hay Shepherd today. Again, I've been joined by Bryce Riddell with Hay Shepherd, Multicube, and I'm sure several other businesses. Definitely a leader and innovator in the hay space. It's been wonderful visiting with you today.
Thanks, John Paul.
This podcast is proudly presented by Feed Central. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes.